Well,
so it was really, I think a lot of people have, they just can't realize, there's really no way you can put it in words, but just the people, the government had to do something.
Yeah.
We were on starvation.
Well, when the woods grew up again on top of the cotton fields, was there planting or was it just what naturally grew around here?
Oh, mostly it's what grew.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They didn't start doing planting until many years after that. Mm-hmm.
That's what I had thought.
Oh, yeah. No, they just did just... of course, you know, the temples had always thought that the pine timber would grow back and it could be reharvested. And that's one of the reasons they held on to their lands. So many of them, you know, thought that cut out and get out was the old philosophy, which they did. Well, Mr. Temple didn't believe that. Of course, I understand. I didn't know him. I understand he was kind of that way about everything. He didn't believe in selling anything.
Oh.
He just naturally, when he bought something, he believed
holding
on to it. But they did kind of, they were, of course, the pioneers in the perpetual yield and that sort of thing. But in those years, through the 30s and 40s, people just left, they couldn't farm, and then of course when the war came and the plants opened up on the Gulf Coast, well, the people that didn't go to war just flocked. If you look at the almanac of Texas and census for those years, in the 30s, the population of these counties plummeted down.
I've seen that in so many little towns that I've looked up. They've gone from several thousand to few individuals.
That's
just
right.
Suddenly. Amazing.
Well, the whole counties did that.
Yeah.
And then after the war, see, people didn't come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the economy here didn't get good until, you know, in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
The late 40s and 50s were not good years.
Well, I've got some things I want to ask you about
the
company and what it did during the Depression, but I wonder if I can just stop the tape for a minute and give you a little an update on our publishing plans.
Okay.
As I'd like to.
I'm not sure, but our next door neighbor at Burke, just a fence between us and about 30 feet between the houses, and like everybody else there, back of our houses, we had chicken houses and the barns and the cattle and the horses and all that, you know, and the outhouses. Didn't worry too much about sanitation, but the old man, I.D. Clark, he was Justice Peace, and he also peddled and dye bought, mostly out in the quarters. And he had a son named Claude. Part of this is, I don't remember. I remember the last part of it. But Claude and his dad owned some land down south of Diebold, and I forget who it was. They had the son, Claude, got crossways with someone down there about a landline or crossing his land or something. Claude shot this man down and killed him. Claude got sent to penitentiary. And he came back, and part of this my mother told me, she was always afraid of Claude. He wasn't, I don't think he would hurt anybody, but he'd come over and play with my brother and I, and Mama thought he was pretty rough, and he was a grown man. Of course, we were boys, and he'd already been to the pen, and Mama was, you know, preferred that he wouldn't come in the house, but she wasn't going to say that with it being my neighbor's son. And he went to Diebold on Mr. I.D. Clark's peddling days, went down there with him. And Mr. Clark went by the ice house to get ice, and we did that also. My dad would go to Diebold and get ice. He'd get 400 or 500 pounds. He had built a big ice box and keep it. And Mr. Clark had stopped his buggy and was getting his ice, and his boy was sitting in the buggy. And the father of the man he'd killed shot and killed him.
Oh, my goodness.
And I do remember that, because I remember Ms. Clark coming over to our house, you know, crying, upset when Mr. Clark brought the boy's body in a buggy from Dybo. You know, you just things like that you remember.
Yeah.
The whole lot. Mr. Clark was quite a character. I don't think he has any grandchildren or children living, but he would sometime maybe drink a little too much. And he'd get to the house, and he couldn't understand why the horse wouldn't go through the gate, and the gate would be closed.
Oh, gosh.
Miss Clark would have to go out there and open the gate, and let him so he could get through the gate. Mr. Clark would be laying on that horse with his buggy whip, because the horse wouldn't go through the gate. You learned about a lot of things living in a small town. You know, everything was pretty well out in the open.
I've often thought that small town life is a little more cosmopolitan than city life, because you just, nothing you miss.
Being raised on a farm and all that, you know, and people were pretty open about things, and you knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And we had a boy from Dyball that I knew, one of the Kelly boys, was killed in front of our house on the train. He was hitchhiking a ride from Dyball to Lufkin at night and fell through the cars and ran over and killed him.
Gosh.
I remember when that occurred, because I knew his brothers, went to school with him. So you had your tragedies then, just like you do now. But I don't know that I can offhand think of anything else, Megan. If I do, I'll...
Okay.